Welcome to the Bird's Eye View podcast. Zach Berman alongside Jeff McClain here at the Eagles training facility on the day after the Eagles 34-29 win over the New York Giants. Much to discuss from this game. We'll get to the defense in a second because the defense did not have their best showing. But it was Nick Foles' first start this season for the Eagles, replacing Carson Wentz. You wrote about him after the game. What did you think of Nick Foles' performance?
He played well. I mean, yeah, four touchdowns and no interceptions.
Yeah. The no interceptions jumps out to me more than no touchdowns.
Four touchdowns.
Yes, no interceptions more than four touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key. If he doesn't turn the ball over, they're going to win more times than not because they do have a very good offense around him. Again, I don't know how this is all going to play on the postseason. I'm not even really willing to kind of look that far in advance.
To the second round of the playoffs, or
yeah, well, because again, they still have to figure out, if they win home field throughout or not. I mean, I guess you can, whatever, but like
yeah,
my thing is,
I think it's fair to start looking at the NFC teams. I think the Super Bowl will be a little premature.
Well, I think it's fair to look at those games. My point is just like everyone's just like, okay, well, this is what we know about Nick and the offense, and this is what's going to happen there. And I say, well, there's one more game to play, at least with Nick Foles a quarterback, possibly two. I kind of want to see how he does there and how the offense looks with him against the better defense, quite frankly. I mean, the Giants are not good. I think they were ranked last in the NFL.
Yeah, they entered 32nd overall, 31st in pass defense.
Right.
But I look at it like the Raiders, the Cowboys, these are bottom-of-the-pack pass defenses. In the five other teams that are projected to be in the playoffs,
it's going to get tougher.
Our top 10 pass
defenses. Yeah, it's going to get tougher. But let's just look at the game. I mean, was he great? No. Did he get some breaks in terms of like field position? Yes. Mm-hmm. But Carson Wentz got plenty of those.
Absolutely.
Those short fields as well. And what Carson did, Foles did as well. He capitalized on those opportunities and threw touchdown passes.
And he did not look overwhelmed out there either.
No, and he shouldn't. I mean, he's got over 30 career NFL starts or around there. I think that was going to be a problem for Nick. Again, he's probably one of the better backups in the league. He probably could start for a few lesser teams. Now, there were some times when you're like, okay, he missed a guy
he
misfired to an open guy, or he made a poor read, or maybe something happened in the pocket that Carson typically would have gotten away from. He ran the offense, he executed the game plan, and he had a good game.
Yeah, I went through the game quickly. I haven't gone through it every single throw multiple times, but it didn't seem like he made bad decisions. Is that fair to say? There was nothing that jumped out where it's like, ooh, what was Nick doing there?
Yeah, I think there was one time he threw one into the end zone to Jeffrey had gotten behind somebody.
Okay, yes.
And that could have been picked off.
Yeah, when Jeffrey essentially played defense.
He short-armed that one.
He threw it late. Jeffrey was open. He threw it late.
And that was one of the throws that he had over 20 yards. For the most part, it was, quick city. It was, get the ball out to your receivers.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Give them something to do with it. Yeah, I mean, like, as I wrote, there were the two longest plays were screens. Mm-hmm. Pass plays were screen passes to Jay Ajayi and Alshon Jeffrey. The longest downfield throw was 17 yards. Now, he did throw deep to Torrey Smith. And got a PI there.
He also had a real good pass to Aguilar that Nelson dropped.
Yeah, that's good. I should have pointed that out as well. That was about a 20-yard pickup, too. That might have been his best throw.
Sure.
That was right in his breadbasket. But he had really good throws. The touchdown pass to Zach Ertz was great ball placement in terms of where you want it. For Zach to go get it. Jeffrey holding on to the ball in the back, found him in the back of the end zone. So he had a good game. It's fair to look ahead to the postseason and say, yeah, it's not going to be that easy. But he did what he had to do in New York.
How about the way he moved? What'd you think of that?
And he was able to slide in and out of the pocket a little bit, stepped up once. I mean, he's not like Joe Flacco. I think he's got a little more athleticism than someone like that.
As Chip used to say, got a basketball scholarship to Georgetown, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, Nick lumbers.
Yeah.
Lumbers, I think, when you talk about him running, I think lumbers is a good verb to use in describing how he moves. But he was able to kind of buy some time by sliding.
The protection was a big story going into the game. How'd you think
good.
The defensive line held up?
Right? I mean,
played much better.
Sacked only once. Yeah, Chance did fine. I got to watch all that to see what was happening there.
Chance said he played much better, too.
He seemed very happy after the game.
Yeah, compared to.
Yeah, he seemed very happy after the game. So good for him.
When I say Chance Warmack, the starting left guard.
Chance Warmack. I didn't really, in rewatching the game from last week, he wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination after Wisniewski left, but I wouldn't have gone to say Omalu, who's like done nothing.
I think they're just trying to salvage Isaac at this point.
Yeah, but in that situation, I mean, you know, they made the right move and going back to Warmack.
Yeah, credit to them for not going back.
Yeah, but once Wiz is healthy, he's in there. But maybe you don't have to rush Wiz back next week. You can get him healthy for the playoffs.
And you mentioned the screen game. It's a good time to point out Jason Kelce. You see him get you see him get downfield on a running play too. On I think it was Jay's running play to the left side.
Yeah.
He had a great block downfield. He's really playing.
I think
well
he took out two guys. I mean, yeah, there's no center in the league that can do that. It's just there's no one who can run like that. And Jason, you know, as we've talked about before, allows certain things in terms of going up against bigger defensive tackles. But you know, on the move, I mean, he runs like a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he played tight end when he was younger, and his brother's a pretty good tight end himself. So that gives him an advantage, and that's why you see so much success on those outside zone runs. And when the screen game is starting to work, that's a huge tool to have.
I hope you guys all read Jeff's Friday notes last week. Started with Jay Ajayi, who continues to see his playing time increase over 50% of the snaps.
Yeah.
This is 3 weeks in a row where it jumps up, and I think it's pretty clear now
he's
the lead guy.
Yeah, and I think he should be. I keep saying this, and I'm going to stick with it. I just don't think you should get away from Blunt too much. Now, I'm not saying the Eagles have. It just seems like every time they go to him, it's like predictable. You know, quarterback's under center, and I know it's not always like that, but it just seems like, or you know, it's a off tackle or an inside zone run, and teams are geared up for it right now. But maybe he's tiring down at this point. You know, maybe he's a guy who needs a certain number of touches, but you know, if you're gonna give Ajayi 15 touches versus Blunt 15 touches, I gotta go with Ajayi.
But they always make sure that Blunt's out there starting the game. You know, I think they're real cognizant of Blunt in that regard.
I guess. Is that important to him? I think he just wants the touches.
Yeah. And he is getting touches, but it's pretty clear.
These last three games, he hasn't averaged more than 3 yards per carry.
And they gave him the ball in 4th and 1. The Eagles entered the game 12-12 on 4th and 1 conversions.
Yeah.
And he missed that run. I think blocking had something to do with it there, but he couldn't get the push.
He couldn't, yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. You expect him to kind of, you know, get that 1 yard. Although, you know, that was kind of a selling point this offseason. I don't think that's ever really been.
Yeah,
the short yardage things. I don't think he's, just because he's a big guy, I don't think he's a great short yardage running back. And that's why you've seen them use the sneak so much with the quarterbacks. Now, Foles did convert a 3rd and 1 with a quarterback sneak, so. But the fact they didn't have Carson there, that might have something to do with it, why they went to Blunt.
Let's shift to the other side of the ball, which was the big problem yesterday. The pass defense gave up over 400 passing yards to Eli Manning. Gave up two big gains, a 50-plus yard gain, a 70-plus yard gain, right? And so it was a poor showing. Are you concerned? And is this something that you think teams are going to do going forward?
Yeah, I think you have to be concerned now. I mean, 3 games in a row that the pass defense has just been leaky. You know, I think most of it falls on the secondary, although the rush hasn't been great. I think they haven't had more than 2 sacks in a game in 5 games. So, I mean, I know sacks, you know, isn't just the lone gauge of pass rush success, but
we'll talk to Jim Schwartz tomorrow, and I can predict what he's going to say. Eli Manning got rid of the ball quickly.
He did.
You know, and they ran those slants and sluggos, and
they didn't tackle.
They didn't tackle, or they fell for double moves.
That's a big concern.
You know, and Jalen Mills on the first touchdown, and Ronald Darby on the he just got beat on the slant there. So I think that's something that a team's going to try. I asked Doug Peterson if he thinks teams are going to replicate what the Giants did, because it's been 2 games now. And he said he doesn't think that teams are going to change what they do. It's hard to change your system. But that being said, I thought what the Giants basically did was they ran tempo and they got rid of the ball quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something if – I mean, Drew Brees would do that in the playoffs if they play against them. Matt Ryan would do that in the playoffs if they play against them.
Absolutely. Are they gassed? I mean, Doug said something about, you know, three games in a row and then maybe they were retiring down. But, like, I don't think you can use that excuse no. when the two previous games you didn't perform well. And maybe he's just saying that for the players and maybe get their head straight for this Raiders game. But, you know, Darby, I think, is the biggest concern right now.
That's a good point.
Because he plays the more important side. I don't know. They've kept Jalen over on the left, haven't they?
They have. But nonetheless, I look at Darby. We really don't have a big sample size on him. And so, you know, we knew his previous reputation, a good rookie year, bad second year. Got hurt in the first game of the season this year. And I thought when Darby came back, all of a sudden he'd be their top cornerback. And he's been inconsistent, I think.
Yeah, he played well against the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Made some good plays there. Made some tackles. Yeah, they challenged him in terms of his tackling. He came up and made those tackles. Made an interception, although it was kind of a gift interception. But he's regressed.
His interception was huge yesterday.
That was a great play. That return was excellent. He broke three tackles. So it's not like you can sit here and kill him. Mm-hmm. I wrote today in my what we learned is that I think you should consider benching him.
Really?
Yeah.
For whom?
Russell Douglas.
Okay.
I mean, again, like his. If you watch
and try Darby's to accomplish
last
what?
3 weeks, decide who you want to start for the playoffs.
Okay. I disagree.
I'm not saying it should or shouldn't, but I would consider it. I don't think Darby is like the slam dunk guy. He should start and be your guy. You run with this guy in the playoffs. Because, again, you really don't know much about him. We haven't, he didn't play for how many games. He comes back. He had one decent game. Since then, he has not had a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Can you entrust him? Whereas I think Douglas, there was a period there where he played okay. Look, he's not great. He's going to have his up and downs. But one thing he did consistently was he didn't let guys generally get behind him. If he did, he came up and made tackles. And Darby doesn't seem to be able to even do that right now. So, I mean, maybe you give Darby these last 2 weeks to hopefully get his head straight. Otherwise, I don't think you can go with Douglas in the playoffs. But maybe you consider saying, you know what? Or maybe playing Douglas more these last 2 weeks, which Jim is not afraid of doing, shuffling, and see.
It's interesting that you bring that up, though, because it seemed earlier in the season, it was very clear they played off coverage, and they kept guys in front of them, and they relied on tackling. And they've been playing more press, it seems. And especially with Darby, who likes to press, that's something they're doing.
Right, but when they did play off, they got picked apart, too. Yeah. And then they didn't make the tackles. They challenged them. And here's the other element of it, too. The safeties aren't playing well, either. It's not just now. Are they compensating for the way the cornerbacks are playing? Is that why you've seen Ronnie McLeod and Malcolm Jenkins struggle? Although Ronnie, to me, has not been great. Although I got to give him credit real quick here. He missed a tackle early on, but he made some big hits later in that game and seemed to kind of settle down. So I don't think McLeod was much of the problem. Jenkins seemed to have some trouble in coverage as that game wore down. And he hasn't really made any Malcolm Jenkins-type plays over the last several weeks.
I actually thought it's not really an important game, these next two games. I mean, I think they're going to win one of them.
Yeah.
But when they moved Malcolm over to the slot, Patrick Robinson got the concussion, he's in the protocol now. I didn't think Malcolm played that well in the slot, and they really don't have anyone else who can go in there.
No, and
they need Patrick Robinson back.
Right, and typically how they've played the slot, at least last year a lot, and at parts this year has been like a matchup thing, and maybe this wasn't a matchup that favored Malcolm. I mean, he hadn't practiced there probably all week and wasn't prepared for it. So it's a fair point to make in assessing his play. But, sometimes the plays just come to you and sometimes they don't. So, I'm not going to sit here and criticize Malcolm Jenkins, who's been great for the most part. But somebody's got to step up here in the secondary, and right now nobody is.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's a grave concern in the sense that they're not going to win a playoff game because of this at this point. But it is something that you're going to have to monitor. And they have the Raiders, Michael Crabtree. They should have a Mark Cooper back. They have some talented receivers. Derek Carr can throw the ball. I'm real curious to see if the starters play.
Right.
On Monday, how the pass defense does.
I'll be interested to see how Schwartzy describes the performance or describes it, or how he reacts to it. We'll be like, you know, remember
at the defensive or pissed off?
Yeah, but exactly. Remember after the Seattle game, he's like, oh, we only gave up 20 points.
Yeah.
And now remember, 24 points all of a sudden is a big deal for us because we've given up so few prior to that. So he was kind of being defensive there. Wasn't as defensive against after the Rams game. I can't imagine him being defensive after this one. He's going to be critical, I think, of his guys.
Yeah, but I think he's going to say Eli got rid of the ball quickly.
And what he's also going to say.
He's going to come with the times. He's going to say Eli got rid of the ball in 0.08 seconds.
He'll focus on the tackling, though, because I think that's an area of concern that he's always talked about. I will say this, though. You know, they got the victory. They moved to 10-12. It was a division 12-2. It was a division foe on the road, although there were a lot of Eagles fans there. You know, when has Philadelphia ever felt this way about a December victory against a divisional foe on the road to go to 12-2?
Yeah, you're 100%.
I mean, it's like it's not the postseason.
Yeah.
So yeah, they can't play this way in the postseason, but like the postseason is a different animal. You get there, it's like a 1 week season. You deal with you handle things differently.
It's all about matchups.
It's all about matchups, you know.
Yeah,
so like
I
don't want to play too much into that.
No,
that card too much.
I wrote in the newsletter this morning that very same idea that like, you know, they clinched a first round bye yesterday. All the others, you know, they're gonna be off the first weekend.
Yeah.
That's not that's rare to do. And they did it on December 18th. That's rare to do.
And I also think, you know, in the background is the fact that everyone's just kind of, you know, with no Carson Wentz, it's
deflated the balloon a little bit. So then you throw this on top of it, and all of a sudden everyone's just like, oh, you know, now we have no shot. Not only do we not have Carson Wentz, our defense, which we thought was really good, is playing at a subpar level. And, you know, I would go and say, I don't think this is a great defense. I didn't even think it was a great defense early in the season. I thought it was a very good defense. But I don't think it's a defense that can win you games. And they didn't.
Yeah.
What game did this year have you said the defense won you the game?
Well, I thought during that home winning streak stretch, you couldn't move the ball on that defense. But
no,
they played bad.
But look at the teams they were playing.
Yeah, I mean, they played San Francisco and Denver. And
Bears and, like, I mean. And
all right, here you go. The Dallas game, I thought the defense won you that game. I mean, Dak Prescott couldn't move the ball against them.
That was probably their best performance on the road. And especially when the offense couldn't do squat in the first half. They kept them in the game, and then they shut them down in the second half. So that was good. Although that's a Dallas
team without Ezekiel.
Without, right? And Tyron Smith.
Yeah, good point.
So, I mean, they haven't, you know, whatever. And I don't want to kill them because remember we were saying the Eagles haven't beat a top team. Well, they went out in Los Angeles and beat the Rams team that just put the,
destroyed Seattle.
Just killed Seattle. So this is a good team. This is a really good team. I still think they have a chance to win a game or two in the postseason, depending upon how the cards fall and depending upon how they're playing at that point. But certainly some signs here you have to be concerned about.
So last 2 minutes, just want to ask you, they play Monday night. They need to win one more game to get the number one seed. But the wrinkle here is Saturday night, the Vikings play the Packers. If the Vikings lose to the Packers, the Eagles would clinch that number one seed before even playing.
Yeah.
This was a big topic today in Doug Peterson's press conference. Would you sit guys on Monday if they clinch that number one seed Saturday?
I don't know. I think it would – personal taste, I guess. I don't know how I feel. I don't feel strongly one way or the other. I wish I did. You know, my thing is, like, you're preparing all week for the game. You have the guy. I mean, is it unsafe to all of a sudden put other guys in there that hadn't prepared for the game,
that
sort of thing?
Haven't taken those reps all
week. Yeah, haven't taken those reps. See, all of a sudden changing at the last second. You know, yeah, you're worried about injuries. You're always worried about injury, but that can happen at any time. I probably would go ahead and play the starters.
Just play regardless.
And then I would rest the starters, most of the starters in the final game of the season. Now, our colleague Jimmy Kemsky over at Philly Voice just did the math on teams that had rested their players in the final week of the season and had a first round bye, and they lost 6 of 9 games in that first playoff game. So, I mean, there's a little bit of a track record there in terms of not resting your guys in the final game of the season. So, I don't know. I mean, I think the Eagles have a different situation here because they have a quarterback who's only started in one game.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to get Nick Foles ready, or you have to even maybe try and get Nick Sudfeld ready.
in case he does get injured. I mean, can you imagine throwing Sudfeld out there in a playoff game for even a drive? Let's say Nick has to leave for something. I mean, that, you know, talk about deer in headlights, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I would prepare this week, obviously, with the assumption that you're playing to win that game on Monday night. And then you see what happens Saturday. I'd still play the starters. But if you already have it locked up, then maybe in the third quarter going into the fourth quarter,
yeah,
you start to mix some guys in like they've done when they've had leads this year. I would probably do that, maybe regardless of the result. You know, you get Nick Foles 2-3 quarters of work. But then in the fourth quarter, you take out Nick, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce, and you get Nate Sudfeld some time, which they want to do.
Yeah.
You start looking at some of these key guys and just making sure they're out of the lineup.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean,
but I wouldn't.
You're happy you got the thing clinched in, no matter what, you know.
Home and it's field all advantage, hypothetical, too.
It's just crazy to think that they could have home field advantage wrapped up before with two games to play.
There you go. We will be back later this week to discuss more about it. Until then, it's the Bird's Eye View podcast. That's Jeff McClain. I'm Zach Berman. Thanks for listening.